Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's the best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio that you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. Good evening, I'm Dan Day, and we're getting through this Monday by making it a Miami Monday. Going to tailor the show just a little extra Miami because on Mondays, you can use all the help you can get. So on the way, going to hear from the Joe Rose Show, talking to Miami head coach Manny Diaz. Then Mr. Miami Dan Levitar, going to be joined by Mina Kimes. Then we'll hear from Hawk and Crowder. Hawkman, he is an alumnus of the University of Miami. And Crowder, he played for the Dolphins. How you like them apples? How you like these headlines? They're coming to you right now. The Dolphins fell to 2-8 on the season yesterday, losing 37-20 to the Bills. Tonight, it's the Chiefs and Chargers kicking off at 8:15. Despite having a bye week, the Canes were eliminated from winning the ACC Coastal Division over the weekend when Virginia Tech defeated Georgia Tech 45-0. The U will face FIU Saturday at Marlins Park. Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa dislocated his hip Saturday in a game against Mississippi State. He is out for the season. In other college football news, two players have decommitted from Miami, defensive back Darren Branch and wideout Marcus Fleming. Saturday, the Panthers' Joel Quenneville gathered his 900th win as a coach when Florida defeated the Rangers 4-3. Panthers are back in action tomorrow against the Flyers at 7 from the BB&T. The MLS will hold its expansion draft tomorrow. Inter-Miami will be allowed to take 5 from a select pool of players. And now, let's take a step into the day spa. A Cocoa Beach man returned a wedding ring that he found on the beach to a Colorado woman who had recently lost it. The surprise is not that he found the ring. The surprise is that a Floridian found something valuable and didn't keep it for themselves. The Richmond Roadrunners Club in Virginia held a run where 175 people donned T-Rex costumes and ran through a park. Hello, new life goal. A Texas woman gave birth in the passenger seat of a car while riding down I-45 in Houston. Man, something really needs to be done about that terrible rush hour traffic. Now on to weather brought to you by Hialeah Park. Tonight's forecast is partly cloudy with temperatures in the high 60s. For the best poker promotions in South Florida, visit Hialeah Park Poker Room. Come win your share of $350,000 in monthly high hand giveaways. That's more than $10,000 a day in high hands. Why play anywhere else? Visit HialeahPark.com for more info. As I said, it is a Miami Monday. Hit me up on Twitter at DanDayRadio, hashtag Miami Monday. And if I like it, I may just repeat it later in the show. Going to have some Miami music on the way from a Miami band. But right now, let's get into the Joe Rose Show. Joe Rose, he played for the Dolphins, caught Dan Marino's first touchdown as a professional. He caught up with the U's head coach Manny Diaz. What'd they talk about? Recruiting. The special game happening this Saturday, handling juniors and the draft, and the U youth movement.
Manny, man, the high school football playoff games, just some unbelievable ones. And I was thinking of you, man. Were you guys able, was it a big go out and watch game recruiting weekend or not necessarily?
Myself and a bunch of our coaches were out and about. You know, the rule is you can only visit a school one time throughout the entire fall. So usually the odds are by the playoff time, the schools that are going to be in the playoffs, we have probably been to those schools to a game earlier in the year, so you can't go back. So a lot of times these great matchups, you're not allowed to be on the sideline for that. And it'd be hard to wait until this time of year to anticipate what matchups would be which. So yeah, we're out and about. It's a good week for us to get some recruiting in.
I just wonder, is it more about watching the guys that you've already verbally committed to, or is it guys that are still on the fence, or how do you go about treating that one, coach? You only have a certain amount of coaches.
That's a good question. It's a little bit of both. I mean, there are times when you are truly getting an evaluation of whether they fit and you think they can play or not. And sometimes you've already made the evaluation. You know they can play and you're there just to let them know that you're there and that how important they are to you. And a lot of times when you go to the game, you're not just finding out whether they can play. You can find that on a film. You're seeing what happens between the plays, what kind of teammate they are, their passion for the game, how do they handle when things go well, how do they handle when things don't go well, which is so important.
You know, Manny, it's not fair that all this stuff's in the newspaper and everybody talks about it and you come on. And we can't talk about schools and names and all that stuff. It really sucks, Coach. It really does.
That's the life we live.
Compliance would not be happy, Joe.
I didn't know how Coach was going to answer that.
He answered it perfectly. Good. Compliance. Someone in compliance is clapping for you right now, Manny. All right, Manny, you got a road game this week. Real big road trip for you down the street. Actually closer to campus than probably Hard Rock Stadium. FIU this week at the old site of the Orange Bowl. How big is this game for your team, obviously, but how weird is it going to be playing on the old soil of the Orange Bowl?
It's going to be amazing. We actually stay in our home hotel, and instead of pulling off north on 95, we just get to turn left and head right into Little Havana. I think it's going to be special for us. I think it's going to be special for, you know, all football fans in South Florida. Just setting the GPS on the car and turning down there and parking in someone's front yard and you know, walking to the, you know, into Marlins Park and just seeing a football game. You know, it's obviously a little disorienting. The field goes north-south instead of east-west like it used to back in the OB. But it'll be great to be back in Little Havana, and it should be a great atmosphere in there.
Coach, I saw one of the things in the off week. You talked about talking to some of the players that are thinking about coming out early and just giving them your evaluation and talking to them. It's been a problem at the U, as you know, in the past, where we've had some guys, and I don't know if they're getting the advice from family, early agents talking to them, but some guys that were either not taken in the draft or taken sixth or seventh round, which I think is a big old mistake. How do you get around that, and what kind of information can you get to these guys, Coach?
The information, it's not our information. The information we give them is from the league, and what we do is we pull different teams to be as honest and upfront with their evaluation of where they think they would go as they possibly can, and when we just sit down and we pass along to each of the gentlemen. It is unfair to say every time they go it's a mistake, because sometimes there are, so you know, every situation is different, but we definitely want to let them know that if they go it's a one-time thing, and our, you know, the big term we always talk about is never settle, you know, and don't take good when great's available. And if you look at an example like what Shaq Quarterman has done by coming back and the level he's playing at his senior year, and we want to start to create an example, I think, kind of reversing the trend you're speaking about, the guys that did come back last year who are big-time guys, look at the year they're having, even a guy like Zach McLeod to come back for a fifth year. And I suspect we'll have some of those guys in our junior class this year that can do the thing. And now if I'm a young guy, I say, okay, you know what? This isn't just, you know, stay here for 3 years and take whatever deal I'm offered. You know, let me maximize my time at Miami and also maximize Miami. You know, I think there's another part of that, too. It's about, you know, what can I do for the University of Miami, which is, again, that's something that Shaq and Pinckney had in their mind.
Well, Coach, obviously there's a couple of things that just keep this going. The risk of injury, I understand, coming back another year. I always wonder, though, this side. If there used to be, if you're not a first-rounder, you come back. Then it was you're not a first or second rounder, you come back. But the amount of money now, and it looks like, especially the first, I don't know if you agree, but it seems to be the first five rounds look pretty safe to make the team unless they're just really bad. So what do you tell guys? Do they ever ask you, like, how do you feel about it? What rounds before the cutoff of not turning pro?
Well, we have all the data. We let the data talk, and we have all the money. You know, all the slots are guaranteed now, basically. So the big thing you look at is the guaranteed money. And when does the guaranteed money start to really dip? And you can see massive differences between round two, round three. Certainly anything after the first 100 picks, which really gets you through round three, it really just, you know, plateaus, you know, down at a level after that. But you show them what it all amounts to.
Yeah.
And also the data of the odds of being on a roster in 5 years based off of where you're picked, because then there is the other idea of, like, we'll go play for the second contract. But you got to play to win a second contract, right? They don't give people second contracts that are backups.
Right.
And so it's that idea of, like, okay, well, if you just say, okay, well, I'm going to go now and I'll just get in there for 4 years, do my service, and get into a second deal, okay, that's fine, but you got to create stats. I mean, you know, we just talked about it. They're paying you for productivity.
That's right.
And what they're doing, and we tell the guys, like, look, it's like if you want to get your car washed, and the first guy offers you $100 to get the car washed, and you're going to go find out another guy for $50, and then another guy washes it for $25, and you're going to find another guy wash your car for $12, you're going to go to the guy for $12. And that's really what they want. The NFL just wants their car washed, and they really want to pay you as little as possible to do it. So just walking them through what all that means. And like I said, it is not all, we are not convincing them to stay. We are trying to convince them to make the best decision for themselves, which often is staying, but it's not always staying. And I think that the players will always always appreciate that we're not just trying to, you know, to lobby for UM or college football. We want what's best for them, but we definitely don't want guys to settle when there's other things out there.
Coach, beginning of the season, a hot topic, not just here or through the media, but I'm sure in coaches' rooms also, was the offensive line and the play of the offensive line earlier in the season. They've obviously gotten a lot better throughout the season. Is that just time together? Is that growth of certain young guys? Like, what do you kind of say is the answer to all that so far, how the O-line has gotten better?
They have really worked hard. I think Butch Berry's done an amazing job of just, number one, just their confidence, because as you mentioned, there was, you know, when you think you're a problem or when you think you have a problem, that is half the problem right there. And just believing in those guys and just understanding that things are going to improve if they just stick to the technique and learn. And it's been a long year, like we talked about last week with Jaron. We almost forget now, we are still playing with two true freshmen, you know, two sophomores and a junior there. And we were so inexperienced. It's a new system, new scheme, you know, learning all these new things. And the way that they have improved, and I think what stood out early in the year is that let's go find five guys that will compete. You know, when we talked about, you know, some of the things we knew going into year one, let's get a team that competes. And we know that if we compete, the execution will get better. We felt like we found five guys that were fighters, five guys that would play hard for Miami, and then five guys that were going to make some mistakes early in the year, but their level of competitiveness never waned. And then as they got better with their technique, now you're seeing the results start to improve.
Coach, it's been really important, just to follow up on what Zach just said, is that some of these young guys really started, whether it's a true freshman or redshirt freshman or sophomores, that have really stepped up their game. And you've had a bunch, man. I was just looking at the roster of guys from Zion to Greg Russo to Jaron Williams. The list goes on and on of young guys that have now got some playing time, but you're seeing them play like frontline guys. It's just, it's different for every guy. And I know the light goes on differently for everybody. Who's made the biggest jump for you?
Well, we're so young. I mean, that's the thing about our team. We obviously have such a young team. That's why we went, you know, into the portal a year ago to try to bring some age in, because we were so sophomore and freshman heavy on our entire football. But I mean, there's so many guys that have made a big jump, but I mean, the one guy that just pops out is a guy like D. Wiggins, you know, as a sophomore, all of a sudden now is making plays back-to-back weeks with, you know, big time explosive plays and, you know, basically the game clinching touchdown at Florida State. And it's just so fun to see guys, you know, like D. And we can certainly talk about the offensive line with, you know, Zion and Ja'Kai Clark and the difference that they've made. And even we, you know, the old head, Corey Gaynor, but Corey's just a sophomore in there at center. So, I mean, all across the board, there are so many players like that who have just found a way to continue to improve, to continue to get better. It's easy to talk about the Rousseaus and those type guys. And again, to forget that they're just freshmen as well. But it is fun to see the youth gain confidence. And I think that's part of it too. You got to get in the game and you got to make a play to realize you can do it. You know, I mean, you make it in practice and you get competitive and you really just got to get in that game. And all of a sudden when it happens, you get that confidence and now you know it can happen again. And that hunger follows.
Coach, is this recruiting class going to be for you, or in general? I haven't really talked to you about this, but I wanted to hit it a little bit. Is it more about position or taking the best players out there, even if it means you've already got a couple at the same position, but he's so damn good, I got to take him too? How do you treat that?
Well, you always are going to take the best class you can possibly take. And in a class this year with our numbers where we expect to sign every position in essence. So it's not like we would not take a, you know, insert position here and then all of a sudden we will because this guy is just available. But there are positions for sure where there are guys that you think, well, listen, this guy is just an elite talent and you would take him no matter what the number says. You always have to balance your numbers on your roster to make sure you're not too full in one class at one position. So that is always a balance. But yeah, there's no doubt that we're trying to field the best football team the University of Miami can field, and you never pass down elite talent to do that.
When you guys sit down, I know this is a big part of what you guys do behind the scenes. When you're going through all these players, and I'm just going through the paper where some guys have really come on late and gotten your eye, and I know that's going to happen because guys do develop at different times in high schools, where you can see the upside of a guy. Does everything go through you at the end? You got to say yay or nay, or do you listen to your coordinators? How do you go about that whole process, Coach?
We have a whole process. It goes right up the chain. We have a great recruiting department who's constantly watching everything that's going on. Then that goes to our assistant coaches. That goes to our coordinators. It goes to me. We sit there and we watch it as a group because I want to be in a room where guys are defending a guy, where all opinions are flushed out as to whether this guy is a take or not a take. Obviously, we have to research academics. You have to research character. What, you know, you see so much in the game now. What is your passion for the game? You know, because again, there are guys that are talented that football can't be a habit. You can't like it. You know, you got to love it. So many of those things go into the evaluation. But one thing that is very important, I've always believed this with recruiting down here, is the senior year has to matter. And because, again, certain guys do develop at certain times. There are certain guys, because of how great some of the high school programs are down here, who didn't start as sophomores or juniors because they might have had three guys that went to college at their position at their school the year before. So all of a sudden they pop on the scene and do that. So, yeah, you're always evaluating and find the best class you can.
Manny, full body of work from the meeting rooms and video watching practices and then on to games, Jaren Williams this season. How impressive has he been to you from all that, considering this year it's his first time as a starter?
Yeah, it's easy to forget that it is. And I think what, you know, Jaren is learning and has learned and done a great job of is all it takes to be a starting quarterback at the University of Miami. That it's so much more than throwing passes. Daninos always says you have to have the mind of a coach and the game of a player. And that means that you have to think this game all the time, you know, in terms of the way that you prepare during the week, because that just comes down to your anticipation. Your anticipation of when to make the throws comes down to your film study during the week. And I think Jaren is learned that, learning how to prepare for these games. He's been, in terms of his moxie and his poise, I think he showed that at the Florida game, his toughness. I think we saw that week zero, really, for a freshman in that environment. The fact that he never flinched in there. But now going forward, you know, just his level of consistency of performance is what really stands out. We know he can spin it. We know he can throw the ball. We know he can make all the throws. But becoming that guy that just, you know, understands and can lead our offense has been the fun thing to watch.
Coach, I know you're aware of this, but I got to ask anyway. The Orange Bowl could be in the Orange Bowl. Have you guys thought about that with two more wins?
We talk about that right now. We have basically 12 days left of our regular season, and we've got to just win each day. We are really not a very good football team when we think about anything other than what's right at our hand. We've kind of displayed that this year. So right now we're really, really locked in. We just know we didn't think about. Well, I know this. We weren't thinking about any bowl game when we were sitting there 3-4. We were sitting there on a Sunday.
That's a good point. We weren't either. We weren't either.
No one was. Right. Yeah. No one was. And we didn't get to this point by thinking about that. So it would be foolish to start doing that now. We know the little things, the accountability, the players being connected to each other is what's gotten us back on track, and I think we'll just sort of stick with that, and at the end of the year, wherever they send us, we'll be happy to go.
Start packing for that big road trip this weekend, Manny. Good luck. Marlins Park,
thanks, Coach.
PM Saturday night.
At least we don't have to go up north to North Day with this cold weather, you know what I mean?
That's right.
Thank you, Manny, as always.
Oh, man.
Okay, guys, have a great one.
Manny Diaz has the U rolling, and I don't want to upset FIU fans, but I hope they keep rolling this weekend when the two play at Marlins Park, a.k.a. the old site of the Orange Bowl. Love you, FIU, but the Canes have my heart. Speaking of the Canes having their heart, Dan Lebatard links up with Mina Kimes next, talking about football, plus Stugatz weekend observations. Not to mention, I'll have some music from a Miami band to feature, since it is a Miami Monday on the Best of the Joe Show. Welcome back to the Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. I'm Dan Day on this Miami Monday, and you know we tailor the show a little more Miami on Monday, so here is music from a local band by the name of the Lemon City Trio. Enjoy. Yeah, feeling that one right there. It's called Lemonapolis. I guess we're all living here in Lemonapolis. One guy we're living down here with, Dan Lebatard, and we love it. Weekdays from 10 to 1 right here on 560 The Joe. Earlier today, we heard Stugatz weekend observations, plus the lovely Mina Kimes joined the show, breaking down Cap's workout, and please don't challenge pass interference.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Dan, after two consecutive road wins by a combined 43 points, Dan, Matt Ryan, and the Atlanta Falcons are back. Matty Ice. Speaking of ice, Lebatard wedding. No ice sculpture with free-flowing tequila. Disappointing. You made up for it, though, with those donuts. Notre Dame, the rare 50 burger. With a side of meaningless. Somebody, anybody, give me one good reason Tom Herman still has a job. Whoever coaches the Pacers deserves a raise. Loss at home to LSU. Tua out for the year. Alabama has college football right where they want him. Tua injury. Had to hurts. Baylor. That had to hurts. Baylor. That's what happens when you make deals with the devil. Ran into Hall of Famer. Andre Dawson this weekend. And, of course, we had a great 15-minute conversation about swimming. The Hawk. Your wedding. 49 points on 41 shots. Is that good? 49 points. 41 shots.
It's okay. They say you're doing your job defensively if you hold a guy to a point or shot.
Greg Cody had 41 shots.
Still doesn't know how to drink. It is. It's stunning. He's 60-something years old and has been drinking for 50 years.
NFL, here's your problem. Kareem Hunt and Joe Mixon are welcome to play in your league, and Colin Kaepernick is not. The sample size is large enough. The Celtics are better without Kyrie Irving. The Rockets seem to be working just fine for something that reportedly isn't working. Denver Nuggets win the award for best team that no one cares about. So we are clear. Tua was playing in a meaningless point of a meaningless game and cost himself millions of dollars for a man making $11 million per year. Dwayne Haskins, still not ready. Tom Brady, the rare time the winning quarterback looked like he lost. For those of you who are going to pick the Ravens over the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, I'm telling you now, don't do it. I care about you. Rams, 29 points, last two games. Boy wonder, I have my eyes on you. Colin Kaepernick worked out for 8 NFL teams over the weekend and has never felt further away from returning to the NFL. Last week I said the Saints were better without Drew Brees. This week I'm saying I was wrong. Amazingly, the Titans didn't play yet remain firmly entrenched in the mix. Todd Gurley, good to see you again. Mitchell Trubisky, turning off all televisions. Collision course. Cowboys, weapons. Lots of weapons. Saban, left them in too long. Julian Edelman is the most effective quarterback in New England. I care about myself. I didn't say that. All right, Mike wrote that one in. Okay, Mike, don't do it. I care about you. Here come the Falcons. It's an observation.
They're 3-7.
Here they come.
Their defense all of a sudden can't be stopped.
They were 1-7. Yes. And now they're 3-7.
Yes.
Here they come, Dan.
All right, put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. If they're 1-7 and then 3-7, is it here they come?
More than any other team, something feels exactly right about the Titans' bye week, where they neither win or lose. Raptors, Lakers, Larry, collision course, Blues, Isles, Stanley, collision course. By the way, that should be the Titans slogan. We don't win, but we also don't lose. M&D Black, 2022. You worked hard, played great, and beat us by a goal in a terrific game. Awesome job. I'm being serious. I will say this lovingly, and no one, and I mean no one, better get mad at me. It won't happen again. The Panthers and the refs, a little sketchy. The Panthers might want to rethink the whole Cam Newton thing. Raiders, Bengals, please, never let me have to watch that again. You want another cure for seeing ghosts, Dan?
Yes.
The Redskins. Michael Jordan got a gem in P.J. Washington. Christian McCaffrey is a bowling ball. Baylor, hell knows no fury like a scorn woman. Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
Did I just hear Mina Kimes, senior writer for ESPN the magazine, and you could check out her daily podcast that gets you updated on all sports things, say that that was her favorite television show of all time?
X-Men the Animated Series? Absolutely. My brother and I taped the entire thing. We put it on VHS, I want to say when it re-aired, and then my mom threw them all out. I'm still so angry about this.
Wow.
Is it weird that we introduce you as senior writer for ESPN the magazine?
Yeah, I guess I need a new... You did a good job running through the other stuff.
ESPN.com, now that yeah. ESPN the magazine is gone. I thought ESPN the magazine still sort of existed as an... That long-form writing at ESPN.com is ESPN the magazine.
Right, well, you had, like, the first feature of, like, the new pivot.
Right, right. How about the Age of Apocalypse? That saga? Yeah, yeah, unbelievable. The Dark Phoenix stuff?
Yeah,
incredible.
Dark Phoenix was an incredible saga. I really like the... I watched back the episode where they... discover Nightcrawler and Rogue.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah, it was just like, I don't want to spoil it for you.
Truly
guys,
like the Paradise Lost for kids our age.
The final season was only 5 episodes.
Did you say just senior writer?
I'll take whatever. Junior, senior, super senior.
How did you react to everything that happened in the poisoned Kaepernick situation where they can't even, they distrust, yeah, both sides distrust each other so much that they can't even conduct a multi-billion dollar industry can't even conduct a workout without oil spilling all over the place.
Well, it's funny, Dan, because the news from that was breaking while we were all at your wedding. So every now and then you could see someone kind of peeking at their phone. And the thought occurred to me, it's kind of like when, I don't know, the president and the vice president are on a plane, right? You can't do that in case of, that's how I felt being at your wedding, because I was like, Bomani Jones is there, Pablo Torre is there. Who's going to weigh in on the internet if something actually happens? And then I was thinking, maybe what if he signed while you were like during the ceremony? I probably would have had to stand up and interrupt it because you would have wanted to know.
Did you take a side when you saw it all happen? I understand why Colin Kaepernick wouldn't sign any waivers, no matter how standard they are. I understand why he would be defiant after 3 years of his prime taken away. But I also understand the NFL saying, hey, we kind of allowed a Nike crew, even though Nike denies there was any crew. We made a lot of last second concessions for Colin and still wasn't good enough.
I think you're right. I've seen the argument. This is sort of the Stephen A. video thing, which Mike made me watch at 1 a.m. at your wedding, if he really wanted it, he would have jumped through the hoops.
He would have continued to eat feces.
And I get why people think that, right? Like, if you were so desperate for a job, wouldn't you be willing to sign a waiver, which apparently was a standard waiver, but I think it's fair to say a standard waiver is not standard for Colin Kaepernick, given all the contingencies. So I understand that line of thinking, but it's completely disregards the context, right? Which is why would, like, he can both want to play in the NFL and also want some control over the process, given everything he's been through. The fact that he did ask for control and that he stood up to them doesn't mean he doesn't want to play. It just means he's not as desperate to play as we would like him to.
Do you know what the pass interference challenge is? You are an expert. You're a football expert. You love your football. You could check out her podcast with her dog, Lenny, the Mina Kimes Show, if you want to be more informed about football. But if that wasn't pass interference that would be overturned on DeAndre Hopkins, then what would be? And there was one in the Arizona game that was overturned. So I really don't understand what I'm watching.
Yeah, they're just trying to get coaches not to challenge it. It's been the message all season. Don't do this. I think they wanted to concede to the competition committee and Peyton by changing the rules. And then after they made that concession, they wanted to show everyone that it was a dumb rule. That's the only possible explanation. Before, at the beginning of the season, we thought, well, maybe if there's an extreme case, they'll do it. Or maybe they're saving it for the playoffs, which is still a possibility. But given everything that's happened, the only possible explanation is that they don't want to do it.
Are you floored by what Lamar Jackson is doing? The fact that they have a better offense than the Kansas City Chiefs, when they told you this offseason that this is exactly what they were going to do and not even Belichick could stop it.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm floored by the improvement in his passing. I thought it was possible. Lamar Jackson was always very good at reading the field, reading defenses. He just couldn't place the ball there all the time. He was not an accurate passer last year. Like, we don't have to rewrite history and pretend like he's been this great all along. He struggled on outs in particular. That's what Dominique Foxworth and I did a story on him in college. We both came to that sort of realization about him, but he has been better at every level on the field. He's still not the most accurate passer in the NFL, but he has been a very good passer this season.
But if I told you like a year ago he'd be 66% completion percentage, well, I think people would be floored by
the best offense in the league,
right?
And you can't hold them under 30 points.
I would not have seen that rate of improvement coming. Also, the defense is really good as well. They've been phenomenal since the Peters trade. And
How phenomenal since trading for Marcus Peters?
It's not all because of Marcus Peters. That's just the time frame. But they've been ranked at the top of the league in pressure percentage, better than every other team. They played Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Tom Brady, and statistically, they made them all look like Blake Bortles. That's how good they've been.
Well, Tom Brady's starting to look like Blake Bortles.
Mike, don't say it. I care about you.
I mean, 3 games without a passing touchdown? Just saying. The beginning of the end.
Mike, 9-1.
How dare you, Mike? Well, steal my take from 5 years ago that he was done.
It was 7.
Was it 7 years ago? You convinced me that I said that when I didn't say that. I just said that deep ball accuracy is the first thing to go on an old quarterback.
Getting old sucks. Pass interference sucks. Hawk and Crowder, they don't suck. There's some Miami guys. We're going to hear from them next, plus some Miami music on this Miami Monday. It's the Best of the Joe Show. The Best of the Joe Show, running back some of the best audio you've heard on this radio station over the past 24 hours. This is some Miami's own Lemon City Trio. Sing a simple song, loving it. Be sure to check them out as they perform around town. Be sure to check out Hawk and Crowder afternoons from 3 to 6 here on 560 The Joe. If you didn't hear them earlier today, here's what you missed on the Best of the Joe Show.
So from the weekend, my takeaways, I guess, Dolphins lose. Colin Kaepernick and his NFL tryout, I'm not exactly certain what happened there. It was a big old mess.
Yes.
Tua Tagovailoa out for the season, maybe more. I mean, we're going to talk with Dr. Chuck Metzger today. He's our medical advisor on the program. Find out, because that's a serious, as obviously evidenced by him being flown by helicopter. It's a serious injury, and that really changes the plans for the Miami Dolphins.
Because he has to drop in the draft now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And now you've got this question, do you take him in the first round no matter where you get a chance to grab him? Because he's going to fall, and you've got three picks now.
Yes, when you have three picks, you could take him later.
Do you take even, I saw Adam Beasley suggesting, I think it was Adam Beasley, I think Beasley was suggesting, take two quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Take Fromm and Tagovailoa, and you know what, I got to find Adam Beasley's tweets because it was interesting. The Heat, by the way, they keep on winning. Panthers look great Saturday night, and it is Miami FIU week. Not only is it Dolphins-Browns week, which is fun just because of the personalities involved, but it is Miami FIU week. And so I'm excited for everything we have to get to.
And that's at Marlins Park, right?
That's at Marlins Park, correct. Hold on. Let me see what.
I got to give me a ticket. I might go to that one.
That's going to be a tough ticket to get. Yeah. I got a text from Lee Sterling, who is a professional sports handicapper. He had had a rough few weeks with us, had a rough run.
He changed his song.
He went 4-1 this weekend.
Ooh.
Now, Rob Pizzola, I think, went 1-6. I'll get to that in a bit. But Lee Sterling had a plus weekend, and he texted me today. If you're interested in betting the Miami Hurricanes, Hurricanes right now are like 18 or 19-point favorites over FIU. He said, put it in early, because he said that's going to go over 21 easily. Like, there's no reason that the Hurricanes shouldn't be an over 21 favorite in that game.
Are we locked in?
Not yet.
Let's lock in now.
Let's see what Adam Beasley tweeted, because it was
Canes are playing now.
Canes have looked good the last couple weeks, no doubt. Can you make my headphones a touch louder, Adrian? I used to have a control myself, but I can't control it. Yeah, even a little bit louder. Now I have to ask someone. Fine. But he had said via Twitter, Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald had said via Twitter, take two quarterbacks. And someone tweeted back at him and said, that's crazy. Like, you don't do that. And then he had an example of that being done. I think it was the Dallas Cowboys took Troy Aikman and Steve Walsh in the same draft, and they ended up winning three Super Bowls. You know, like, there's something to be said. When you've got as much draft stock as the Dolphins do, it's certainly something to consider, because you remember when Willis McGahee got hurt in that bowl game for the Hurricanes?
Yeah.
And who was it? Buffalo that took a chance on him? You know, and it was like, oh, do you really want to? Like, Tua and had a heck of an NFL career. Tua, I mean, are you writing him off?
Not at all.
Is he too fragile?
I'm with Beasley. If it's quarterback one, Tua, or Tua, Jalen Hurts, second round, I'm with taking two quarterbacks. And then as Tua, I don't think Tua will be back to Tua form with his injury and all. And everybody, I love Dr. Chuck coming on, so you can really tell us. But now I try to become a pseudo doctor, listen to all this hip dysplasia. Oh, he shattered the back wall of his hip. I don't really know what it means. Everybody was saying it's a long recovery. And so I'm saying Tua's a 2021 starter. You might have to give him a year or so to get back into what he's doing.
Right.
Take another quarterback. Let Tua sit on the shelf and get healthy. Let them compete. If Tua recovers faster, now you have a trade piece with that other guy. If it's Jalen Hurts, if it's Fromm, if it's Herbert, take one of those guys, have Tua, and let them compete. I think it's honestly the opposite of the criticism we had with Tannehill, to have no competition his entire career. Bring a guy in early and give him competition. Now there's an asterisk next to it because Tua's hurt, but let him get recovered and let him compete with the young guy. I think it's a genius idea.
I think, and again, it's the luxury of having three picks in the first round. I mean, it's a real luxury.
Yes.
Now, could you benefit more by filling in different holes variables and being able to key in on a quarterback, for sure. Problem is now, this is a different situation. It is a different situation. So let's say the Bengals draft first. They can't take Tua number one overall, can they? I don't know. I mean,
no.
Dr. Chuck obviously can give us a little clarity on that. But, man, would you, knowing that he might not even be ready next season, like you say, could you use the number one overall on Tua?
I wouldn't right now. Let's say the Dolphins stay at three wins and the Redskins mess around and win some more. Well, actually, the Bengals are going to have to do it. So they mess around and win four games. I don't know how the hell they'll do it. But the Dolphins are sitting at number one. You asked me this the night before the draft. I can't draft a guy first round that's not going to be ready next season.
Now, what if your second first round pick?
Sorry.
What if your second first round pick is 15 or 18 and you think Tua might be gone by then?
That'll be the tough part. That'll be the wheeling and dealing and figuring out and talking and scouts and talking to other GMs, because that's what I'm thinking. The second or third pick in the first round or the first pick in the second round is where you can try to FUD getting Tua Tagovailoa. But that's what I would want to do. I would still bring him in. I couldn't go top five with a guy I don't know if he's going to recover.
I mean, this really takes the plan. If the plan was Tua the entire time, we don't know.
No.
Right? And we know that they're obviously targeting a quarterback, but we're not 100% certain that it's been Tua. Could have been Fromm, right? Could have been Herbert. Like, you don't know. The Giants, you know, they took Daniel Jones earlier than people thought. That was the guy that they had targeted. I don't know who the plan is, but if the plan for an entire season has been Tua Tagovailoa, this is a huge hiccup in that plan.
Yeah.
And now the brain trust. Omar points this out. Is it Omar? I got to look on Twitter again. Stephen Ross wanted Lamar Jackson. And what's more troubling, that they didn't take him or that Chris Greer, who was ostensibly in charge of personnel decisions, said no, he's not the right guy? And is that the guy you want making this very difficult decision now when it comes to the first round of next year's draft?
But it was also 30 other teams, because the Ravens did pull the trigger at 32. The Dolphins didn't, you know, Dolphins didn't value Lamar Jackson. But if you want to be honest, the other 30 teams didn't value Lamar Jackson either. So if you want to question Chris Greer and Lamar Jackson, you have to question 31 GMs, not just Chris Greer. But I see what you're saying.
Well, the only difference,
want that guy making this second decision.
The only difference that I would say, though, is that you had the owner saying that's the guy we should take.
Yeah.
And someone actively saying, no, you're wrong. You know what I mean? No, you're wrong.
Let's be Calk, the media, radio, you're more vetted than me. You know this realm of life way better than me. If I come and give you some advice on how to do radio or how to adjust something, you're gonna look at me kind of funny, like, hey, Crowder, this is my thing.
Oh, I get it.
Stephen Ross questioning Chris Greer about football, you would have to look. I know he owns a team. He's a
right.
Billionaire. He's a billionaire genius real estate guy.
No, I happen to love the fact that Chris Greer said, no, you're wrong. And I love the fact that Stephen Ross said, okay, I trust your decision.
Yes.
You saw with the Marlins, you know, Jeffrey Luria would override his baseball personnel and went out and signed John Buck, the catcher. I think Heath Bell was a Jeffrey Luria joint. So I like what transpired, where whoever's in charge of the personnel can say, no, you're wrong, I don't care that you're writing the checks. And the person writing the check says, okay, I defer to you, it's why you're here. The problem is, he was wildly wrong on this, Chris Greer.
That messes
Lamar it up. Jackson, you'd have had your quarterback, unless you think that he's a flash in the pan. But, man, and I was so wrong on that Houston game yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought Deshaun Watson was going to light the Ravens up. I thought it was going to be the reverse of what we saw yesterday. We had money on Houston. I really thought it was going to be the reverse.
I didn't think it was going to be the reverse. I thought it would be a high scoring on both sides. Actually, the game yesterday showed me a lot more about the Ravens' defense, because I respect Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Like I respect Lamar Jackson. So Jackson's good. I just thought, hey, Deshaun, you should be able to do a little more. DeAndre Hopkins, and we saw the memes. He was getting held. Refereeing, you can question that and all. But, yes, I was surprised by how good the Ravens' defense is, to add to what Lamar and Mark Ingram and those guys on offense are doing.
Man, Lamar Jackson looked good. Let's get headlines here, because we do have the Brian Flores press conference coming up at 2:30. I want to make sure to get to that. So let's get headlines with Alejandro Solana.
So, yeah, guys, the big news is Tua Tagovailoa. He did undergo surgery on his right hip this morning in Houston, and according to Alabama, his prognosis is excellent.
All right. Obviously, everybody's rooting for him. I mean, you don't ever want to see that happen to a kid like that with the magnitude of the injury that it is. It's the injury, I guess, everyone's been saying that Bo Jackson had that took him out of the NFL. But apparently, and we'll talk with Dr. Chuck, but apparently was caught earlier. So the blood issue or the dead tissue issue that happened with Bo Jackson didn't happen with Tua, but still a significant injury.
Did you watch Tua on the video after the injury?
On the ukulele?
That, no, I'm talking about as soon as he got hurt, how he was holding his leg, and then he broke his nose, too, so he's leaking. That looked bad, man.
Yeah, no, it looked like a disaster.
He couldn't move his lower body. I thought it was spinal.
Yeah.
Spinal.
Spinal. And broke my back.
And I know one thing about this Tua situation. I saw people criticizing Nick Saban for having him in the game. It is the first half. I know you hate Nick Saban, Hawkeye.
And it's I don't even blame him. That criticism to me is so unfounded.
If they were up by 40 halfway through the fourth quarter, I am with everyone criticizing Nick Saban. The first half, you want to bench your starter. Please stop that narrative.
And what he said after the game was, we were going to take him out the next series, but we wanted to get him some practice running the two-minute drill, which, by the way, that is what you do when you're shellacking somebody in the first half. You give some guys an opportunity maybe to run an offense that they haven't had to run in a while, like you're getting them ramped up for the SEC championship game, and you know they're hoping still the playoffs and whatnot. So I as much as I would love to have a problem with Nick Saban, I give any opportunity to criticize him as a great opportunity, and I just don't see it.
Do those fans think that coaches sit around and say, hey, let me score one more touchdown so I cannot let my quarterback get his hips dislocated? Like, that's not the way it goes.
Right.
You're trying to play football. You're trying to prepare. I want to know how many people bench their starting quarterback before halftime. Because that's just – I don't know if you can do the research on it, but that narrative is so dumb to me. Tua was going to play till half. They were going to pull him out. But, yeah, don't blame that on Nick Saban. That was a man getting hit by a bunch of big-ass dudes.
Happens.
His hip fell out of place. His nose got dislocated. Maybe he needs to drink a little more milk or something, man.
He
needs a little more milk.
What else you got, Solana?
The Dolphins, of course, lose 30-20 to Buffalo yesterday. Brian Flores coming up at 2:30 p.m. And next Sunday, it's the Dolphins in Cleveland. They're at +10.5 to open up.
All right. +10.5 in Cleveland. Also, you said, what did you say they lost? 30-20?
37-20.
37-20. He did say, right, Adrian? Yeah, Adrian and I looked at each other.
No,
said 30-20.
Adrian doesn't know what he's talking about.
All right.
Love you, Adrian.
You're going to attack Adrian now. Get a scapegoat now, bro.
The Bears pulled Mitch Trubisky in their loss to the Rams yesterday. Might be the worst game I've ever watched, by the way. Mitch says he sustained a hip injury, which is why they pulled him from that game.
That Bears team is as disappointing a team as you'll ever see, based on what expectations were and what's happening. We can pretty much say that guy's garbage, right, Mitch Trubisky?
Mitch is bad.
I mean, I think he's bad. They have no offense with him.
Nope.
None. They cannot move the ball.
And he doesn't have great weapons, but he has some weapons.
He's got some weapons.
But he just can't utilize them.
Yeah, it's that is a ugly situation. And then that Eddie Pinheiro, he can't hit a field goal. I mean, it's a disaster there in Chicago. I feel bad for my guy Waddle and Silva.
Come on, Waddle.
Anything else, Solana?
Yeah, on the tank news, the Bengals did lose yesterday to the Oakland Raiders, who are now 6-4. And that was their third consecutive victory. They're tied. They're out on the outside looking in of the wild card, but they are tied with the Texans, who are also 6-4.
Old Chucky and Mike Mayock getting it done in Oakland. Anything else?
And finally, guys, Burger King is being sued by vegans who want their Impossible Burgers cooked without meat-based contamination.
Right. I don't know how you do that if you're Burger King. Everything there is revolving around meat. So if you're now going to cook a meatless patty on the same grill, if that bothers you, my guess would be don't go to Burger King if you're vegan.
Bingo.
Rather than sue them. First of all, how badly do you need to go to Burger King?
I'm
like,
with you on that one.
Lawsuit worthy? Like, I want to eat here so badly. I don't eat meat, but I want to eat at Burger King so badly I need to sue them to make sure that the food is cooked appropriately for me. Like, who loves Burger King that much?
I don't know. Are there fat vegans?
Yeah,
there's
for sure.
Fat vegans?
Yeah, vegan is not a healthy vegans. They eat McDonald's hash browns all day long, French fries. Like,
really?
Oh, yeah. There's a difference between being a vegetarian and a vegan.
I see. I'm confused by those two terms.
Yeah, there's plenty of fat vegans.
So no fat vegetarians.
Aren't there fat vegans, Amanda? There's fat vegans. Yeah. Yeah.
Big fat vegan.
Yeah, because you could eat chips all day long, right? Oh. Yeah, carbs all day long, she's saying.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. They make a vegetarian burger.
You, I'm sorry?
A vegetarian burger.
Well, you're saying a vegetable burger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they have that. But if you cook it on the meat with the griddle with the meat, it's going to be the same lawsuit.
Oh, well. Sorry, Burger King.
I mean.
I tried to help them.
It just seems like you can go somewhere else.
I learned that there's fat vegans. I'm
surprised. Oh, yeah. It's not the healthiest lifestyle.
See, that I think that's the misnomer that vegan is healthy. So you're telling me big-ass vegans?
No, but it's not that it's not healthy. It's the fact that it's not a lifestyle where you're necessarily guaranteed to be slim. I think that's the issue there. We're like, just because you're vegan doesn't mean you'll be skinny. But it is healthier in the sense that you're not taking in a lot of red meat. And which will kill you in the future.
I said it's not low calorie.
Right.
Right. I'm telling you, you could eat potato chips and hash browns all day long. You can go get a pizza. You take the cheese off it, but you still got the tomato paste and all the bread and whatever. You could eat the entire pizza. Like, it's
get you a burger then. It's your big, fat, healthy ass.
You ain't saying anything to me that I don't understand.
That is what I'm talking about. I know a couple of fat vegans, so yeah. There are fat vegans. I don't know if they actually eat at Burger King. You got to come back and get more, though, at the Best of the Joe Show tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. We're done for now. Monday Night Football coming up in just a few minutes. My man Danny G will take you through that. This is the Best of the Joe Show. Later, slug.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.